You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Joseph Caperso, our head of international economics. And Joe, good to have you back on today.
It's great to be back, Belinda.
Now, helicopter money or monetary financing has certainly been in the headlines a little bit more recently due to some prominent economists raising the idea again. So, Joe, what exactly is helicopter money?
Well, in brief, helicopter money is simply the central bank prints new money. And that new money is dispersed to people, businesses, or government. Now, helicopter money is not the same as quantitative easing. There are some important, though subtle, differences between helicopter money and QE. For example, helicopter money is a permanent increase in the central bank's balance sheet, whereas quantitative easing, QE, is meant to be a temporary increase in the central bank's balance sheet. But in the short term, both helicopter money and QE look the same. It's only over the medium term, when the central bank starts to reduce their balance sheet, does it become obvious that it is in fact QE and not helicopter money.
You can extend helicopter money to talk about something else called monetary financing. And that's kind of where we get into what central banks are not exactly thinking about doing, although we will touch on that later. Some countries are doing this. But really starting to discuss more broadly what monetary financing is. So where does monetary financing come from? And how is that different to helicopter money?
So monetary financing is really just a subset of helicopter money. So it's really when that new money that the central bank prints is given to government to finance the government's budget deficit. And then the government can then cut taxes or increase spending or welfare payments and the like. So it's really just a subset of helicopter money.
And some central banks around the world, including here in Australia, have made it very clear that they're not undertaking monetary financing. I think Australia and Governor Philip Lowe has made that point very clear, that the quantitative easing program that is currently underway in Australia is very different. And the main reason for that is the central bank buys bonds in the secondary market, not directly from the government. That's kind of what we've seen globally at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. There is one exception to the rule, and that is Indonesia. The central bank there has been purchasing directly from the government bonds since April of this year.
And we'll touch on that a little bit later. So when can monetary financing be considered? Because if I think about, you know, when I was at university studying to become an economist, we were really taught about how credibility is at the heart of central banking. So how and when should a central bank consider financing government debt?
In brief, only as a last resort. You're not going to want to reach for helicopter money as your first option. It's really when you've tried everything else and this is all you're left with. So the way I see it, there are really three hurdles to overcome before you even consider using helicopter money. And the first one is spending is so deficient that inflation is incredibly low for a long time. The second hurdle is monetary policy is exhausted. There's nothing else that monetary policy can do. And the third hurdle is that governments are constrained by high debt. When we survey the advanced economies that we cover, as well as China, we don't think any country really fits the bill there. One thing that people often focus on is high government debt. But I think high government debt is really a perception rather than a reality. Even more than a decade ago, immediately after the GFC, the US and the UK governments brought in austerity budgets because they thought they had too much government debt. Of course, they've got a lot more today than they do back then. They never once had a budget surplus where they were able to reduce their debt. So I think it's fair to say that high government debt as a constraint is really just a perception issue.
And I guess, you know, some countries around the world, as you said, have had very high government debt levels for a long period of time. The immediate one that comes to mind is Japan. And
that's right.
And they've managed to kind of deal with it in a way quite well, despite having economic challenges. So I guess that brings us to the thought process of, well, how can monetary financing support the economy? And so why would a central bank and a government go down that path? Can it really provide the economic outcomes that would warrant going down such an extreme path?
Monetary financing is really just an extension of regular government budget policy. In fact, it's really a blurring of both the monetary policy and the government's budget policy. So the central bank is really just financing government's budgets. And then the government can do more or less one of two things. One is they can increase government spending, so that expands the number of jobs and incomes in the economy. And secondly, they can also use that money to pay for tax cuts, which increase household and business income, and that in turn encourages an increase in spending in the economy as well. Now, this sounds really good.
Could it be too good to be true?
Yeah, I think it is too good to be true. One thing that economic textbooks teach us is that there is no free lunch, which means that this monetary financing, which looks like free money, really isn't free money at all. And someone somewhere in the economy pays.
Yeah, and on that, we did hear from the Governor of the Reserve Bank of Australia last week, Dr. Philip Lowe, and we actually touched on this in a podcast with Stephen Halmerich last week as well, and he made some comments about monetary financing, given it is just getting a little bit more airplay at the moment. And he certainly ran through some of the costs or where we may see some costs come through from monetary financing. What are those costs and where could we see it come through?
That's right. So sticking with the idea that someone somewhere in the economy will pay for this.
Eventually.
Eventually, that's right. So the governor gave us three examples. So he said, if monetary financing is successful in stimulating the economy, then inflation would increase and perhaps to a very high rate. And that means that the community is paying for the extra government spending with higher inflation. In other words, an inflation tax. So the community pays higher inflation. That's one cost. Another one is that the central bank bears the costs by accumulating losses on their government or on their holdings of government bonds. Now, the central bank can only do that for so long. And if there were no offsetting income from the central bank, then eventually the central bank would have to cut their dividends to the government. So what the central bank gives the government, they would eventually have to withdraw from the government. So that doesn't work either. And then Governor Lowe canvassed another possibility, which is essentially to make commercial banks pay for the monetary finance. But that doesn't work either because that would essentially be hurting bank profits. And then that would mean that governments would receive less income tax from banks and potentially even introduce some financial stability risks as well. There is no free lunch, unfortunately. And I guess if it was that simple, then many other central banks would have been doing it for many years.
You have run through some of the costs of monetary financing or helicopter money, but are any countries around the world embarking on this?
Well, the only country that we know of is Indonesia. In April, and you might remember that April was really at the at the worst of the recent flare-up in financial market volatility, the Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, started buying government bonds directly from the Indonesian government. Now, they've done it in, so far at least, Bank Indonesia's purchases have been relatively small. Their program is going to be something in the order around 3% of GDP. So that's unlikely to destabilize the Indonesian economy with high inflation or undermine the stability of the currency. But I guess like a lot of things, you can start off small and then increase things later. And then you may see some of the downside effects of monetary financing if you go too far.
Certainly fascinating stuff, and it's good to have a benchmark about what we can look for and why governments and central banks may eventually consider to go down that path. But as you say, there's certainly no free lunch. Appreciate your insights today, Joe.
Thank you very much, Belinda.
Now, you can find Joseph Caperso's report on what is helicopter money on combankresearch.com.au.